Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is, a free, daily 30-minute program designed to help you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz at the Voice of America's Learning English branch in Washington. Today on the program, we report on efforts to make African skies safer. Africa has just 5% of global air traffic, but 20% of accidents and deaths. Then we will report on efforts to promote the use of solar energy in India. And later, as we always do on Wednesdays, we will bring you the health report. And then, as we do every weekday, we will present The Making of a Nation with Steve Ember. Every day here at VOA Learning English, we bring you news from and about America and the world. And we tell you the often surprising and always interesting history of the United States. We are a little different here at VOA Learning English because we exist to help you learn everyday American English. We speak a little slower than normal, and we use words that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. We are on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America. Africa has about 5% of global air traffic, but 20% of accidents and deaths in 2014. Sidi Kone is an air navigation safety expert. He says many small airline companies that operate south of the Sahara Desert fail to follow international air navigation rules. He says they sometimes do not know where their planes are located. He says air traffic coordination and communication must improve. He says planes cannot travel on the same routes as they fly over the continent. Ose Bonsu is an expert on aviation in Africa. He says countries must work together to locate plane crashes and rescue survivors. He says training is needed to manage air traffic as flights in and out of Africa increase. Air traffic controllers in Africa say they do not have enough workers and they lack good communication equipment. Air traffic safety experts who gathered in Cameroon this week said some air traffic controllers use mobile phones to communicate with pilots. Some of their other concerns include the loss of power at airports and animals on runways. Air traffic safety and security experts say they need more investment and training to improve the safety of air travel in Africa. hundreds of villages in rural India are using clean energy powered by the sun. This month, 61 households in the village of Baripatha in eastern India were given 2 solar lamps. Villagers had been using kerosene lamps at night. Kerosene produces pollution and can lead to fires. The Indian government wants to increase the use of solar energy by 500% in the next 7 years. If it is to reach that goal, 100 gigawatts of power must come from solar by 2022. Now, just 4 gigawatts of power created in the country come from the sun. Officials say they want to slow the amount of greenhouse gas emissions. India is now the 3rd largest producer of this gas. The gas contributes to climate change. Arunabha Ghosh is the head of the Council on Energy, Environment and Water, a policy research group in New Delhi. He says, in terms of the share of electricity capacity that Germany achieved through renewables, that transition took about 22 years for Germany. In India's case, which is a much poorer economy, India is planning to have a similar shift towards renewable energy and non-fossil energy within 15 years. India's goal may be helped by the decreased cost of developing solar energy. The government says it wants investors to spend $100 billion over 7 years in solar power. It is reducing taxes for some solar-related investments. And it is permitting non-Indians to invest. This week, Germany said it would spend more than $2 billion on solar projects in India. Sun Edison, an American renewable energy company, says it wants to invest $15 billion. SoftBank, a Japanese company, has announced it will partner with companies in India and Taiwan to spend up to $20 billion on solar energy projects. Trina Solar, a Chinese company, plans to spend $500 million to make solar panels. Some people in India are worried that there is not enough land for some of these projects. Many of the projects need large plots of land. Inderpreet Wadhwa created a company called Azure Power. It was one of the earliest investors in solar projects. He said most of them are being built in dry areas of the country, on land that cannot be farmed. You are not displacing any alternative use of land, he said, especially if you are building in remote areas in Rajasthan, for example. Meanwhile, India continues to dig for coal to provide energy. It says it hopes to double production in 5 years. India says it needs such plants. It says one quarter of its 1.2 billion people still do not have electricity. Some Indian towns and cities still do not have reliable electricity for their people. Environmental activists warn that the use of the new coal-fueled power plants means that India will continue to increase the amount of carbon pollution it produces for many years. But environmental researcher Arunabha Ghosh notes that people don't seem to recognize that it is not a question of will more coal be built or not. It is a question of how many coal-fueled power centers are not going to be built because of these aggressive solar targets. We are going from about 8 to 13% of renewable energy in mid-century to 30% by 2030. That's our program for today. We hope it has informed you and has helped you learn everyday American English. The Health Report and The Making of a Nation with Steve Ember are coming up next. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz, reporting from VOA Learning English Headquarters in Washington.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. The first ever World Hepatitis Summit was held in September of this year in Glasgow, Scotland. Health experts estimate that about 400 million people are infected with the viral disease. Viral hepatitis infections kill nearly 1 million people a year. The majority of cases are in Asia and in African countries south of the Sahara. A vaccine and treatment for some forms of hepatitis are now available. But whether patients have enough money to pay for the treatments is a different story. The World Health Organization says high cost of drugs is one big problem in fighting hepatitis. Another problem is the fact that most people living with hepatitis do not know they are infected. There are five different hepatitis viruses, A, B, C, D, and E. All five cause inflammation of the liver. The organ can become enlarged and painful. Hepatitis A and E are spread through infectious waste in food or water. These forms of the disease cause acute infection. However, most people recover. The best way to prevent hepatitis A is by getting a vaccination. But the U.S. Federal Drug Agency has yet to approve a vaccine for hepatitis E. Hepatitis E is usually found in countries with polluted water supplies and poor waste treatment systems. Hepatitis D only infects people already infected with the B virus. Hepatitis B and C can be the most serious. Those two types are responsible for 80% of all liver cancer deaths. Dr. Stefan Victor is the team lead of the World Health Organization's Global Hepatitis Program. He says hepatitis B and C are also different from the other types in how they are spread. You can get hepatitis B from sexual contact or by sharing drug injection equipment. The best way to prevent hepatitis B is by getting vaccinated. Hepatitis B is common worldwide, especially in many parts of Asia and the Pacific Islands. With hepatitis C, most people become infected by sharing instruments like needles. The majority of infected persons with hepatitis C might not know they are infected because they do not feel sick. There is no vaccine for hepatitis C. The best way to prevent hepatitis C is by avoiding behaviors that can spread the disease. Dr. Victor says there are ways to prevent all types of hepatitis. Not so long ago, treating hepatitis C was difficult, with a very low recovery rate. Now people are able to be cured completely of the virus. Dr. Victor considers this a major development. Although a vaccine and treatments are available, says Dr. Victor, not everyone in need can get them. He says this is a big problem. The Global Hepatitis Program says that about 240 million people are infected with chronic hepatitis B, and anywhere between 130 and 150 million people worldwide are infected with hepatitis C. One of the goals of the recent summit was to urge countries to develop national hepatitis treatment and prevention programs. I'm Ana Mateo.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation American History in VOA Special English. In the summer of 1858, two candidates campaigned across the state of Illinois for a seat in the United States Senate. That seat belonged to Stephen Douglas from the Democratic Party. He was seeking re-election. His opponent was a lawyer from the newly established Republican Party. His name was Abraham Lincoln. This week in our series, Frank Oliver and Larry West tell us about this campaign of statewide, but also national importance.
Abraham Lincoln proposed that he and Stephen Douglas hold several debates. The rules for each debate would be the same. One man would speak for an hour. His opponent would speak for an hour and a half. Then the first man would speak for half an hour to close the debate. Douglas agreed. There were seven debates in all. They were held in towns throughout Illinois. In some places, there was great interest in what the two candidates had to say. Thousands of people attended. Douglas was a short, heavy man. One reporter said he looked like a fierce bulldog. Douglas' friends and supporters called him the little giant. Lincoln was just the opposite. He was very tall and thin, with long arms and legs. His clothes did not fit well, and he had a plain face, one which many thought was ugly. He looked more like a simple farmer than a candidate for the United States Senate.
The Lincoln-Douglas debates covered party politics and the future of the nation. But everything the two men discussed was tied to one issue, slavery. Douglas spoke first at the first debate. He questioned a statement made in one of Lincoln's campaign speeches. Lincoln had said that the United States could not continue to permit slavery in some areas while banning it in others. He said the Union could not stand so divided. It must either permit slavery everywhere or nowhere. Douglas did not agree. He noted that the country had been half slave and half free for 70 years. Why then, he asked, should it not continue to exist that way? The United States was a big country. What was best for one part might not be best for another.
Then Douglas questioned Lincoln's statement on the Supreme Court's Dred Scott decision. Lincoln had said he opposed the decision because it did not permit Negroes to enjoy the rights of citizenship. Douglas said he believed the decision was correct. He said it was clear that the government had been made by white men for white men. He said he opposed Negro citizenship. "I do not accept the Negro as my equal," Douglas said, "and I deny that he is my brother. However," he said, "this does not mean I believe that Negroes should be slaves. Negroes should enjoy every possible right that does not threaten the safety of the society in which they live. Every state and territory must decide for itself what these rights will be. Illinois decided that Negroes will not be citizens, but that it will protect their life, property, and civil rights. It keeps from Negroes only political rights and refuses to make Negroes equal to white men. That policy satisfies me, Douglas said, and it satisfies the Democratic Party.
Then Lincoln spoke. First, he denied that the Republican Party was an abolitionist party. I have no purpose, he said, either directly or indirectly, to interfere with slavery where it exists. I believe I have no legal right to do so, nor do I wish to do so. I do not, Lincoln said, wish to propose political and social equality between the white and black races. But, he went on, there is no reason in the world why Negroes should not have all the natural rights listed in the Declaration of Independence, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I agree with Judge Douglas, Lincoln said, that the Negro is not my equal in many ways, certainly not in color, perhaps not mentally or morally. But in the right to eat the bread that his own hand earns, he is my equal and the equal of Judge Douglas and the equal of every living man.
Lincoln then defended his statement that the United States could not continue half slave and half free. He said he did not mean that customs or institutions must be the same in every state. He said it was healthy and necessary for differences to exist in a country so large. He said different customs and institutions helped unite the country, not divide it. But Lincoln questioned if slavery was such an institution. He said slavery had not tied the states of the Union together, but had always been an issue that divided them. How had the country existed half slave and half free for so many years? Lincoln asked. Because, he said, the men who created the government believed that slavery was only temporary. Once people understood that slavery was not permanent, the crisis would pass. Slavery could be left alone in the South until it slowly died. That way, Lincoln said, would be best for both the white and black races.
Stephen Douglas and Abraham Lincoln were campaigning for a Senate seat from the state of Illinois. But their debates had national importance, too. Douglas expected to be the Democratic candidate for president in 1860. His statements could win or lose him support for that contest. Whenever possible, he tried to show that he was a man of the people, like Lincoln. He tried to show that his Democratic Party was a national party, while the Republican Party was a party only of the North. And he tried to show that Lincoln's policies would lead to civil war.
Lincoln, for his part, may have looked like a simple farmer, but he was a very smart lawyer and politician. He asked questions which he knew would cause trouble for Douglas. He wanted to create a split between Douglas and his supporters in the South. Lincoln also wanted to keep alive the debate over slavery. That, he said, is the real issue. That is the issue that will continue in this country when these poor tongues of Judge Douglas and myself are silent. It is the eternal struggle between right and wrong.
In Illinois in 1858, the state legislature chose the men who would represent the state in the National Senate. So Stephen Douglas and Abraham Lincoln had to depend on legislative support to get to Washington. On Election Day, the legislative candidates supporting Lincoln won 4,000 more popular votes than the candidates supporting Douglas. But because of the way election areas had been organized, the Douglas Democrats won a majority of seats. The newly elected legislature chose him to be senator.
Lincoln was sad that he had not won, but he said he was glad to have tried. The campaign, he said, gave me a hearing on the great question of the age, which I could have had in no other way. And though I now sink out of view and shall be forgotten, I believe I have made some marks which will tell for the cause of civil liberty long after I have gone. Many people, however, did not think Abraham Lincoln would be forgotten. His campaign speeches had been published everywhere in the East. His name was becoming widely known. People began to speak of him as a presidential candidate. To win the presidential election of 1860, the Republican Party had decided it needed a man of the people. He must be a good politician and leader. He must be opposed to slavery, but not too extreme. Many people thought Lincoln could be that man.
After the election in Illinois, Lincoln made several speaking trips in the western states. In none of his speeches did he say he might be a candidate for president in 1860. If anyone said anything about Lincoln for president, he would answer that he did not have the ability. Or he would say there were better men in the party than himself. Lincoln said, "Only events can make a president." He would wait for those events.
Our program was written by Frank Beardsley. The narrators were Frank Oliver and Larry West. Transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of our programs are online, along with historical images, at voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for The Making of a Nation, an American history series in VOA Special English.